Securities and investment advisory service offered through NFP Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Financial Solutions for Business is a member of Partners Financial, an affiliate of NFP Securities, Incorporated. Financial Solutions for Business and NFP Securities are not affiliated.
Welcome to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show with Steve Beatty. Steve is the founder of Financial Solutions for Business, the author of the Ultimate Business Owner Plan, and certified exit planning advisor. He uses his 25 years of working with successful business owners and interviews with top advisors and successful business owners to help baby boomer business owners create the business and the life they have always dreamed of. Now, here's Steve.
Thank you, Spike, and welcome to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show. I'm Steve Beatty. We are always here on Friday afternoons working to help business owners, especially baby boomer business owners, create the business and the life that they've always dreamed of. And we talk usually to advisors who have tips and strategies of ways to create that. But today we're very fortunate to have a client and a friend of mine, Cesar Fonte, that actually did that. Cesar sold his business successfully at 45 years of age, and I thought it would be fascinating to hear how he did it. So, Cesar, thanks for being on the show. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're great for taking the time. I think that your story really inspires and helps other business owners that would love to achieve the goal of successfully exiting their business on their terms the way that you did. So I appreciate you taking time to share your thoughts. So why don't you give us just a couple minutes of your background? How did you get into business and what got you to where you're at today?
Yeah, well, I was a 20-year industry person in my profession. We're in the medical device industry. And after a period of time working for all these big companies, I decided that I was tired of giving all my wonderful expertise advice and decided I was going to build my own business. I promptly exited a large company and started my own company with bringing some solid people along with me and hiring some really talented individuals along the way. And after 5 years of that, as you've already stated, there was a lot of interest in buying us, and ultimately we were able to sell the company.
Yeah, that's obviously a great American success story. How, when you first went out on your own, you know, that had to be a little bit daunting. I know you're fearless, but there had to be some trepidation there. What were some of the challenges that you faced when you first left the big company environment?
Yeah, you know, I think when you're smaller, your first concerns are, boy, how am I going to just survive? You know, can I compete against these large companies? And again, I really think it's important to have a basic business plan that you're going to follow. Hire really talented people. And if you don't have the ability to hire those people, find someone that can determine, you know, and hire talented people. Surround yourself with talented people, and it usually works itself out. But one of the most important things is really know the business you're getting into and determine what your position in that business is going to be. You can't go knock against the largest companies out there. You can't hit them head on. You know, you're going to have to find your market in order for you to be successful.
Yeah, and that's great advice. I think that so many business owners have those challenges, and so how did you, I guess, one, how did you craft your business plan? Start with that. You know, how did you put together a business plan that you were confident would work?
Well, you know, confidence is really important, but you better put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into it.
Right.
Our business plan was basically, we knew that we had a lot of relationships in our industry. We had an excellent product line. I think something that the customers were looking for, and we were able to convince those customers that it was time for a change, and that if they continued to work with the companies that they were working with, that they weren't really going to be able to get taken care of, and that their own needs wouldn't be addressed. In healthcare, you know, it's very difficult for anyone to break in, and by bringing in this company that had been around for so long and bringing it to the forefront, we were able to give customers an opportunity to look at an old friend that perhaps that they had left a long time ago. It was really important to really kind of connect them back again. And our company did that, did it very successfully.
So then the second part of your plan that you said that was a critical step for people is to hire great people. How did you find those people, and how did you attract them to a new enterprise when perhaps they were already at a large company with you know, benefits and big brother type comfort?
Yeah, well, I think that you have to look in unique places. Obviously, it's pretty easy to go after a competitive person in another company. But I think that some of our most successful hires were people that came from potentially other fields, but that had that entrepreneurial, had that drive that would be successful in a sales career. You have to get talent where you find it, but I wouldn't necessarily go to my competitors and look for talent there. I think that you can find talented people in all walks of life, and you have to be able to have enough belief in your own abilities to judge and in their abilities to deliver where you get your best employees or reps for that matter. But I think that, like I said, you have to be able to judge talent.
So this was what, 5, 6, 7 years ago? There wasn't LinkedIn.
Yeah, this was in 2008.
Yeah, 2008. So
right.
So there wasn't LinkedIn to much degree. There wasn't online sources. How did you find these people in other careers that you could spot, you know, a diamond in the rough?
You know, it's funny. They come from all walks of life. Obviously, when you're in sales, you're out in the field. You're looking at salespeople in all walks of life. In healthcare, as you can imagine, there's lots of companies out there, and I always looked for people that were in lesser divisions, lesser companies, that were looking to jump into what we consider the Super Bowl of sales, and if they wanted that opportunity, that experience, sat down with a lot of people, lots of coffee clutches, lots of lunches, to try to determine and get to know who these people are before we would make any offers.
Interesting. So now you've got let's jump forward a little bit. You've got a team, you've got a product, you've got a niche, you've got experience, you've got a business plan. You know, at that point, what was really your goal? What was your real focus once you kind of had things off the ground and were out of complete survival mode, shall we say?
Yeah, my objective always was pretty simple. I had two pillars that I based it on. I wanted a company that was going to grow, and I wanted a company that was profitable. And I always went back to those two pillars as I continued to develop this business. You know, I believe I wasn't looking to go get bought. I think that's something that people need to realize. You know, I wouldn't start a business with the idea I'm going to sell it in 3 years or I'm going to sell it, you know, in a certain time frame. I think the first thing you have to do is develop a company that's growing and is profitable, and that if someone were to ask you, hey, I'd like to buy you for whatever amount, you could tell the story, not only am I growing, but I'm profitable, and here's why it's worth this amount. And I think it's important that business owners start a business with that intention. If, not saying that you can't do it the other way, I just think it's a much easier process and a much easier ultimately sale if you have those two things working for you.
Interesting, because I've heard a lot of people that have exited that did it the other way and said, it's my intention to build a business that I can sell. Now, they would have to be profitable and growing most likely to be saleable, but I think you're right. I think it is easier to focus on those two pillars, and that will naturally create value.
You know, you're looking at, if I were an internet startup company, and perhaps I'm not making any money, but I have this wonderful technology, or I have something that's really sellable, but maybe I didn't have the marketing, or I don't have some of the missing pieces, I think there's an opportunity there to to say that it that, you know, I'm going to start this business and I'm hoping to get acquired by somebody that's larger that has the ability to do it. But unless it's that kind of business that is going to require somebody larger to come in, I think if you're starting a business, you better think, I'm going to start a business that I can make money on, and that the people that work for me can make money. You know, it's sort of, you know, a rising tide floats all boats, right? So that's the way we started it. And when I did this, my intention was that the people that would work for me, they couldn't, you know, they wouldn't be making any more money or couldn't make more money working somewhere else. You know, it's very lucrative. But, you know, that everyone had a stake in the success of this business because they were making money. I think it's important. We, when I started this, I thought that it was important that, you know, we were profitable and that we were growing. And then, as you know, not the segue, but that's how ultimately we became for sale. A competitive company came to us and said, have you ever thought of selling? And I said, no, not really. And they said, well, you should. And that's when I started thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it took, you know, as you know, it took about a year, a little less than that, about 9 months from beginning of when I started thinking about it to when it actually completed. So, you know, probably 3 months of that was just me getting my information. You know, I needed to know exactly what my profitability was. Sure, I knew I was making money every month, but I needed to know what percentage. I needed to know what my growth was. I needed to know if that was sustainable, because it's important to show the sustainability. All of that adds zeros to the sale price, as they say. You want to make sure that there's other opportunities. You want to be able to show people that are going to acquire you that there are, there's potential growth in other, you know, other products and other divisions and other things that your company can dive into. All of that adds, again, you know, zeros to the sale, and ultimately, I think, makes it for a much more smoother transaction.
Well, there's no question, and I'm sure that the 9 months seemed like a long time for you. For our listeners out there, that's a really short time. The typical transaction from idea to completion, if it happens, and again, maybe 20-25% of businesses ever sell, but it's 12 to 36 months for most people. So you accomplished that in a very short time, and again, at age 45, that's a you know, real achievement. So once again, as I've said before, but to reiterate, congratulations. That's great. When you showed them that there was growth and potential, that had to be in the context of you not being there eventually as well. So how did you create a company that had value that wasn't dependent on you being there every day, that you weren't the chief salesperson, that you know, that the value wasn't all about Caesar?
Yeah, I think that goes back to hiring the talented people, right?
Yeah.
I always try to envision each one of my employees as an individual, and what, like, they have their own little small business, no matter where their part was. And I always wanted to be able to say that person is successful. They're successful, obviously, in our environment, but that they stand alone are successful. And so when you're looking at you know, at the end, we had almost 75 people working for us in the field selling. And, you know, I wanted to be able to tell 75 success stories. So when I was talking about selling the company, and they were like, well, how is this going to translate? I could go and I could say, please give me this person's name, employee's name, and let's talk about that person's business and how important I am to that person's daily business, and how much, you know, how would it hamper them if I was or was not in the picture. And I think that after going through that process a few times, you know, they were pretty understanding that while it's important to have leadership and it's important to have developed, you know, this talent, it's also important to have the ability to have an exit strategy. And I didn't enter my business with an exit strategy, but by hiring the right people, an exit strategy was able to be, it was developed, to put it that way, where I could sell this company with little or no impact to the bottom line. And I think that they found that very, very enticing.
Well, there's no question. I mean, that's what a buyer wants. is I want to be able to take my capital and my resources and buy this business and be able to grow it beyond what you've been able to do without the owner having to be involved, right? I mean, why else would I buy the business? And it's a unique business that's actually able to do that. So talk a little bit about the transaction itself, without getting into specifics, but just kind of how it went. How many different potential suitors did you talk to?
Yeah, in the end, there were three suitors that I was talking to. That was probably harder to determine, you know, like what's my company's worth? You know, when you go into a negotiation, I think you have to remove your ego, you know, as to, oh my God, we're the greatest company in the world and blah, 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 and, you know, everything's great. I think that you have to try to get a true valuation for your company. And I don't know if that means you go to one expert or you go to a couple of different, you know, business consultants that tell you based upon your, you know, sales, this is what it's worth in the industry. But you have to have a pretty good idea what you want for your company. You have to consult with experts. Obviously, you know, me and you were discussing this almost on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. and discussing with other people. And for instance, you brought that one tax expert that dealt with specifically business sales. And we sat down in that meeting. And it's important to surround yourself the same way you surround yourself in a company with good people that are able to drive your business. You have to kind of get a good team together for selling a business. Your accountant, you know, you have to have a real good relationship with that person and determine, hey, what part of this is going to be goodwill? What part of this is going to be an asset? What part of this, you know, and what can be capital gains and what can't? And, you know, you have to really look at all that stuff. When those three people that we were talking to sell, they each were coming at it a little different for different needs. Obviously, they all wanted to have the growth in sales. You know, that was important to each one of their boards. And to their shareholders. But, you know, some of them were looking to plug holes in their own division. Some were looking to move some of these candidates, some of these people that work for us, into management positions because they were so strong. And then, you know, one of the companies just simply wanted the sales. You know, big company, all I want are the numbers so I can tell my shareholders our sales grew. And here's why. So, you know, three different companies, but all of them ultimately interested.
Well, what I hear you saying is two things that I took from what you just said. A, you got to have a qualified team that A, cares about you and your situation, and B, is uniquely qualified in dealing with selling a business. True? Is that sum it up?
Yeah, I do. And obviously the parts I was telling you left out some real important people in this, but, you know, let's just say there's a team involved. You have to be very comfortable with them and you have to trust that team.
And then the second thing was that probably helped was having more than one suitor. I mean, it's just like anything else. If you've only got one candidate, you're going to get what they give you and you don't have a whole lot of negotiating power. But it had to help you with those three companies all being interested. And as you said, coming at it from different angles, that had to increase the ultimate price that you achieved to some degree. True?
Yeah, absolutely. After the first person came to us with at least the concept of how about you sell your company, at that point I looked and said, all right, well, if these people want to buy us, who else would be interested in buying us? And so actively, I then actively looked at the other companies that I thought would. And of the total of the five companies that I thought would, the largest three actually did. And it was interesting because they would have been the three companies that I would have wanted to have sold from day one. And ultimately that's how it worked out. It's funny though that, you know, the same ideas you have of your company often enough the competition has as well. The only question is, can everyone check their ego and make a deal happen? And fortunately for me, it did.
fortunately is right. That obviously doesn't happen in all cases. Egos are probably the biggest deal killer on all fronts. I mean, sellers, buyers, advisors, they awful lot of egos can kill deals. And so I think that, again, it's a great achievement that you were able to get this done the way that you did. So we're about out of time. But I just want to thank you so much for coming on. I think that it's very interesting for our audience to hear your story once again. And maybe you can come back in the future and talk about some of the specific strategies that you had. So thank you so much, Cesar.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Take care. That was Cesar Fonte, owner of Western Medical, that shared his story about how he successfully exited his business at age 45, and maybe we'll have him back another time and talk about what his second career is, because that's equally fascinating. So we're going to take a short break. We've got Devin Blaine coming on next, talking about crisis public relations. What happens if you find yourself in a public relations nightmare and how to deal with it. So quick commercial break, and then stay tuned to listen to Devin.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show with Steve Beatty. Please visit ultimatebusinessowner.com to contact Steve for more tips, strategies, and precautions to help you create the business and the life you have always dreamed of. Securities and investment advisory service offered through NFP Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Financial Solutions for Business is a member of Partners Financial, an affiliate of NFP Securities, Incorporated. Financial Solutions for Business and NFP Securities are not affiliated.